Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we begin with a reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verse 5, and then verses 8 to 20. Again, is a story of Abraham. I've mentioned Abraham some in the last few weeks. What a man of faith, and it didn't come easily. And God tested him in his faith, and that was not easy. But he became our father in the faith, as I said before. He's our father in faith. He went before us with all the same doubts, the same confusion, the same uncertainty that any of us has. But he obeyed. That's the key. Willingness to obey what the Lord asks of us, what Scripture says. That's God asking us to obey. If we do, not only do we grow in faith, but we grow in hope, we grow in love, we grow in everything that is good. That's what God has for us. Genesis chapter 21, beginning with verse 5 and then verses 8 to 20. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Isaac grew, and on the day of the child's weaning, Abraham held a great feast. Sarah noticed the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham playing with her son Isaac, so she demanded of Abraham, "Drive out that slave and her son. No son of that slave is going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac." Well, Abraham was greatly distressed, especially on account of his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy or about your slave woman. Heed the demands of Sarah no matter what she is asking of you. For it is through Isaac that descendants shall bear your name. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make him a great nation. I will make a great nation of him also, since he too is your offspring." Here you see again the mercy of God. Early the next morning, Abraham got some bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. And then placing the child on her back, he sent her away. As she roamed aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba, the water in the skin was used up, so she put the child down under a shrub and then went and sat down opposite him about a bow shot away, for she said to herself, "Let me not watch to see the child die." As she sat opposite Ishmael, he began to cry. God heard the boy's cry. God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven, "What is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cry in this plight of his. Arise, lift up the boy and hold him by the hand, for I will make of him a great nation." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and let the boy drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up. Now we're going to hear much more about Ishmael and Isaac. We're going to hear so much about this. But along the way, pay attention to the fact of God's mercy. It's always there, if we look to him for it. Often what happens to us is we exhaust every resource that we have because we have access, many of us, to many resources. And we pay attention to all of those resources first. We try those resources first. And only when everything has failed us do we turn to God. And what I want to say to us is turn to God first. Turn to God first. Turn to God always. Make use of the resources that are available to you, but turn to God first, every day, every time. Because God may be providing those resources for you. He may really want you to use those resources. But if you turn to him first, if he has another plan, you give him the opportunity to speak to you, to inspire you, to show you the way. That takes faith. But turn to him. Always, in difficult circumstances, turn to him first. Psalm 34, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard him. From all his distress, he saved him. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for naught is lacking to those who fear him. Fear means reverence. Fear means giving him his rightful place in your life. The great grow poor and hungry, but those who seek the Lord want for no good thing. It might not be the thing we're looking for, but we will be given that which is good if we turn to him. Come, children, hear me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, reverence for the Lord, obedience to the Lord. Which of you desires life and takes delight in prosperous days? We all do in a certain way. But we need to turn to the Lord first. Come, children, hear me. I will teach you how to give proper reverence to the Lord, and then whatever else is good in life will find its rightful place. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. These were people who were possessed by the devil, possessed by evil. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding, and the demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swineherds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon, the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. Why? They were overcome with fear. They saw such power, such authority, and they were afraid, and they wanted him to leave. Brothers and sisters, don't do that. I've heard people say, I don't want anything more to do with God. It's too complex. It's too difficult. I don't want anything more to do with God. I just want to deal with what I can control, what I can control. Brothers and sisters, that's the way that leads to a great, great deal of unhappiness. It's not a good idea to beg Jesus to leave. But it happens. It happens because things get very hard and we don't know where to turn. So what do? We turn away from the one source of help because we're afraid. Things are too big, too much, too hard, even direct evil. And we just want to be rid of all of it sometimes. Don't do that. Jesus, come to our aid. Jesus, Savior, help me. Jesus, show me the way. And no matter how difficult things are, keep your eyes fixed on him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Monsignor Giussani, who is now a servant of God, he was a priest in Milan, Italy. He was the founder of the ecclesial movement Communion and Liberation. And this is what he says about this gospel. If Christ is a present event, then we meet him every day. Yet we do not realize it because we are distracted. We meet him every day. He crosses our path and calls us friends. But alongside a kind of acknowledgement and a vague emotion that most people feel when they hear the name Jesus Christ, there is a hostility towards him today that has never been before. Except in the earliest days when they crucified him and killed his martyrs, when they outlawed his witnesses in the first centuries. It is a generalized hostility fed and produced systematically, so well supported theoretically that we get accustomed to it day by day without realizing it. And this reveals how distracted we are. And when we do realize it, and this is worse, we pretend not to hear and not to see. We don't even consider it important. Monsignor Giussani was from Milan, Italy. He was writing this in probably the 1970s, 1980s. Where are we now? In our country, we're very distracted all the time. In fact, I never pay attention to the news. It's just the same old, same old. I'm not saying that you need to sit yourself in front of a television and pay attention to the news and read everything you can every day. No. I'm asking you to be selective. But brothers and sisters, take a good look at what's going on. Take a very good look. I'm not talking about any particular member of the administration. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about an attitude, I'm talking about a spirit that's prevalent in our country today. Monsignor Giussani says, "This hatred characterizes human history. It is, as it were, the ongoing result of the mysterious wound of original sin in human history. It articulates and becomes concrete day by day through all the powers as an enormously evil and mendacious possibility. For it is power that takes up and personifies this possibility, gives it life, intelligence, and weapons, and makes a wicked plan of it." We see that, don't we, in country after country. It is in this hatred that the father of lies works, making use of all the powers. That father of lies described by Jesus when he speaks of Satan to the Pharisees. Hatred for Jesus is the theme necessary for every power that does not consciously draw its humble and dramatic origin from obedience to the supreme power of the Father. How much hatred there is in the world today for God. How much hatred for Jesus. Do you love him? Counteract that hatred by love. Monsignor concludes, "In this state of affairs, which would be the norm without God's intervention, the initiative of Christ present continually makes his people live and renews it." We can be renewed. We can be restored. We can be made whole to the degree that we put our faith in him. Brothers and sisters, seriously, take a look at your faith. Where is it? How is it? In what condition is it? How can you help it to grow? Go to the Lord first and say, "Lead me, guide me, that I might grow in my faith, that I might grow in hope and love for you, Lord, and for all of God's people. Help me." You start praying that way and you will do more for the country than 10,000 arguments. May God give to each of us real faith. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.